Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the second Sunday after Easter, also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, I'm calling the Good Shepherd. It was first given by Most Reverend John T. Calhoun in April 1999, Good Shepherd Sunday. The second Sunday after Easter is nicknamed Good Shepherd Sunday for quite obvious reasons. In the epistle, St. Peter says that Jesus' death and resurrection have brought us all back to the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. In the Gospel, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. When you read the Hebrew Bible, you discover quite quickly that the economy of ancient Israel was based upon raising and herding sheep. So inevitably, many of the major male characters in the Old Testament earned their livings as shepherds. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob and his sons were shepherds. Later on, Moses was a shepherd, and King David was a shepherd. Because shepherding was so much a part of the everyday life of the Hebrew people, it was natural for them to use imagery borrowed from shepherding as a poetic way of talking about human life. Especially in the Psalms, a fundamental idea is that human beings tend to act as sheep do, and God always acts as a shepherd does. Tell me about sheep. Sheep are cute and cuddly. Well, anyways. And their wool and their skins and their meat make them economically valuable. But sheep are also not very smart, for sure. And they tend to wander away and get lost and scattered. Better believe it. So they need someone to watch out for them and care for them and steer them in the right direction. That pretty well sums up the Old Testament's view of the human predicament. The best known use of this pastoral imagery comes in Psalm 23. David, the author, was herding sheep when Samuel called him to succeed Saul as king of Israel. David came to public attention when he killed the Philistine giant Goliath with his slingshot, the same weapon he used to protect his sheep from wolves. David writes from the viewpoint of a sheep, saying, The Lord is my shepherd. He goes on to talk about how God leads him and feeds him and keeps him in line and protects him from his enemies. God did not shepherd the people of Israel all by himself. He shared his shepherding with the leaders he set up over Israel, judges like Joshua and Moses, and then later on the kings and the priests. The human shepherds were flawed, as all human beings are. The worst ones among them took shameless advantage of their sheep and brought ruin upon themselves and disgrace upon God. So God promised that someday he would send Israel a proper shepherd, one who would take care of them and never let them down. That promise was in the same vein as his promises to send a good king to replace all the bad kings, and a good priest to replace all the bad priests. Jesus says that he is the one God promised in the Old Testament. I am not like all the bad shepherds. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is, of course, the good king and the good priest, too. In today's lesson, he contrasts himself with a hired man. When a wolf attacks a herd of sheep, a hired shepherd will run away because the sheep don't belong to him. The good shepherd owns the sheep, so he knows them just as they know him. The good shepherd does not run away and leave his sheep to the wolves. He stays and risks his life to protect the sheep and keep them safe. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That echoes his words, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are Jesus' friends. We are Jesus' sheep. He knows us all by name. He gives up his life to forgive us all together, and one by one, by his stripes, we are healed. Last week we talked about how Jesus extends the experience of his once-for-all resurrection on into human history. He does it through structuring his church around the apostolic ministry of bishops who are witnesses to the resurrection, and through the apostolic priestly power to forgive sins in his name. Jesus shepherds his people through his church, too. We call the clergy pastors, shepherds. When a deacon is ordained priest, at least in our prayer book, the bishop admonishes him with these words: feed and provide for the Lord's family. Seek for Christ's sheep that are dispersed abroad. How great a treasure is committed to your charge. They are the sheep of Christ, which he bought with his death, and for whom he shed his blood. When a priest is consecrated bishop, he is told quite bluntly, be to the flock of Christ a shepherd, not a wolf. Feed them, devour them not. I used to have a friend who was fond of saying, when the devil wants to wreck the church, he gets the clergy to do it for him. Our own church has had to come into existence because of a Volpine plague of bad shepherds. But our good shepherd remains faithful. And if we trust in his love for us and try to do what he wants us to do, we'll have the courage and the ability to raise up trustworthy shepherds so the sheep of God can be fed and cared for properly. Nothing is more important. As St. Peter puts it, ye are as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.